Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back to At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
We're back at Belmont Park, and at the track, and something rhymes with that. It's Harvey Pack, and it's always a pleasure when we can have Harvey comment on anything. And he joins us now ahead of a trip down to AC. Harvey, good morning.
Good morning, Steve. I figured I'd hear from you with the Belmont and the Triple Crown and all that wonderful nonsense.
Well, it's particularly apt, I think, Harvey, today, because it's the anniversary of Conquistador Cielo completing the most outlandish, at least for our era, double ever, the Met, and then 5 days later wins the Belmont. It kicks off Woody Stevens's five straight Belmonts, and just an amazing accomplishment, and I'd love for you to take us back.
Well, no record in the history of racing is better than that one, and that's the one we can guarantee will never be broken, because I don't think many trainers will have five entries in five consecutive Belmonts, with the possible exception of Mr. Baffert, or maybe Mr. Lucas, or Mr. Pletcher, but I doubt it. I really doubt it. Can you imagine what that meant when he won that one? And we loved him. We were very close friends. In fact, he and his wife once took me and my wife to the farm to visit their horses that they owned, and the betting around the press box was who'll pick up the lunch tab.
And who?
I'm happy to report it was Woody. I was much slower.
The Met, of course, which now is part of this Belmont Racing Festival. What's your take on the concentration of these races, making for these mega days?
Well, it's all we have left. Many years ago, we predicted studio racing, and we're practically there. The big days are all we have, and thank goodness they bring out big crowds. The Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, the Breeders' Cup, and that's about it. I never approved of making this a three-day weekend, because it came about because Churchill Downs got away with it. And we had an executive who kept an office in England for some reason, probably to book horses in for the winter, but he believed we could do it. And we tried it, and it really didn't work. But I like the idea. I think expanding it is good. It'll bring more people than a normal Friday, and it's good for racing. But that's it. It's a studio game now.
You made me think of something, actually, and that is with a trip down to Atlantic City. And the last time we talked, you explained how you've come to enjoy, and you drive down, on a pretty regular basis. The sports betting, Harvey, what do you make of it? It's going to kick off today at Delaware and Friday in New Jersey.
I know that. And we still can't play poker here online because our governor isn't bright enough to put it in. But I think it's okay. I'm not a big fan. I never was a sports bettor. I only bet horses, and that was enough to ruin my life. Why'd I have to look for another disease? But in all honesty, the reason I go to Atlantic City, and for 20 years in the Paddock Club at Saratoga, I always said, when you're old and can no longer make a decision, we'll let you make nine a day. Come out here. Spend your retirement with us. Don't go to casinos, said the idiot who now goes to casinos.
And you, that, it's a, I love how you acknowledge that it somehow won you over. Meanwhile, you're still playing, right? You're following racing on a still regular basis.
Day. Yeah, I bet at home. I follow the races. I print the PPs. I play around. The unfortunate part of it, and it really isn't unfortunate, is when I bet New York, I'm very influenced by Little Andy. Very influenced. Because I've known him since he was a little kid, and I know he's the best public handicapper working anywhere in racing ever, and I listen to him, and I have the diminishing bankroll to prove it. But it's not his fault. It's my fault.
Well, Andy, between Andy and Pete Fornatel, that constantly continue to invoke what you mean to their careers and to their even their pleasure at being involved in the game, and you also know what an influence your career has had on countless horse players and people. You're the quintessential individual that helped people enjoy the game.
Well, the fans from my generation, I had a lot of them, are either gone or in a casino somewhere. However, at your age, people between 50 and 60 grew up with me for the most part and were influenced by me and became horse fans because of it. And I'm happy for that. I feel I've accomplished something in my life other than my family.
Delve into the evolution of your approach and the, it was whimsical, but at the same time, it had real lessons for horse players. And you really delivered that information with a stiletto and with a smile.
Well, I always did. In fact, in the book that Pete Fornatel's career is based on, every chapter heading has one of my rules. And some of them are funny, some of them are quite straight, but they are really everything I would want you to know about handicapping. The best one being, never say, I've got it from here, when they enter the stretch, because that can be the kiss of death. And I've done it, and I've been chased around the clubhouse by some mad friend, and they were right. Never say, I should have bet more, until the race is over and you're collecting.
Talk about the Belmont and your impressions of it. Triple Crown tries, and you can appreciate probably better than anyone that period between Citation and to Secretariat.
Well, one thing I'm going to tell you, because I think it's an amusing story, and it's true. We used to give things away at the track. We still do, but we gave away a Triple Crown clock. There were 11 Triple Crown winners at the time. One had the first one, and right around all the way up to Slough or Affirm, the last one being that. 12 was left empty for Naira's plug or whatever it was. 11 was it. And I said to my wife with American Pharoah, I said, this time I think the 12 spot's going to be gone. I don't think he'll lose. And she says, what'll happen to the clock? I said, I don't know. Well, let the clock think about it. It's not my problem. American Pharoah won, and 1 hour later, this is the truth, the clock fell off the wall and broke.
Oh, that's hysterical.
It's unbelievable, but it happened. It stood there until American Pharoah won, and within an hour, we heard a crash, and I said, how did it know?
That's unbelievable. I have one of those clocks as well, and it's in my office above.
Why didn't yours fall? Why only mine?
Mine was plastic. It came from, I don't know when they gave that away, but it was either
was
a Saratoga giveaway.
Probably got it the same way everybody gets it. You keep spinning. We used to bet on how soon after we put up a gift it would be on eBay.
One thing that we discussed a little earlier this morning, the run between Affirmed and American Pharoah, and Harvey, there were so many years it seemed that there was a horse, starting obviously with Spectacular Bid, but whether it was Ali Sheba, and then later Silver Charm and Real Quiet, whichever one you want to pick, it felt like the Schneid was going to
forever.
End. Yes.
It felt like a jinx that would last forever. Really did. And many times you thought the horse couldn't be beat, and it was. But American Pharoah was a little better than the others for some reason, and he looked the part. But some of the other horses Baffett brought in and other people, they looked right, too. I don't know what's going to happen on Saturday. I really don't. But I have to remember Stage Door Johnny, who won the Peter Pan and then the Belmont by sitting out the others. And it's in my mind for some reason, so I'm not going to – I won't bet the race. I rarely bet races like that. But I'll be rooting for another one to win it. But we'll see. He certainly didn't look like he was going to win the Triple Crown in the last 16th at Pimlico, did he?
No, I suppose. And there is something to be said, though, when it comes to the Triple Crown winners. They almost, not to a horse, but there have been circumstances where they were seriously tested, and it's been good for them. And then they, you know, then they have gotten here, and generally they've been won decisively when it happens, when there's a Triple Crown winner.
Well, it'll be interesting, because had he not faulted in the last 16th at Pimlico, we'd have a field of five.
But that's a fair point.
But they're encouraged to take a little shot at him because of that. After the Preakness, I didn't think he'd run in the Belmont. I just didn't. And then Baffert said he came out beautifully, and he's certainly a trainee you got to believe. And based on that, I wouldn't bet against him.
You know, we look through the history, and I've had really a particularly fun Triple Crown season, reminding people and playing audio of Derbies and Preaknesses. And today we just played Durkin's Call of Colonial Affair. It's the 25th anniversary. There's a wonderful piece that Tim Layden wrote that posted at Sports Illustrated, talking about Chick Anderson's call, Secretariat.
That was the best call ever.
Yes.
And nothing to take away from Durkin. When he said, "We'll test these two to the wire," that to me is the most memorable line I ever heard in a race call. With a firm Denali Dar.
That's interesting. You put that ahead of the Secretariat?
Secretariat was easy. 31 lengths. He's going into history. He's a fable. He's the greatest ever. That was easy. Anybody could have done that. But a firm Denali Dar captured the public's imagination. And when they ran the Belmont and they reached the top of the stretch, still battling, how did he come up with that line? It was just an ad lib, and it came from nowhere. And it was brilliant. I still hear it sometimes. "We'll test these two to the wire." I've never heard it before, never heard it again, and he was absolutely right.
You know, talking about Chick Anderson, and one of the beauties of Layden's piece, Harvey, is that it's not just the call, and it's not just Tremendous Machine and all of that. He talks about Anderson's, you know, ill fate and being taken young. And it seems you and I'm invariably bring up Pete Axthelm with you, and it feels like they were kindred spirits.
Well, you got a point there. Chick, you know, miscalled a lot of races, and we didn't realize it was medication. He was kind of sick early, and that was why he'd miss a horse occasionally. He was a fabulous announcer. I don't think he was in Tom's league. I don't think anybody was in Tom's league, but he was a very good announcer and a good guy. And Axthelm, incidentally, is the guy who chased me around when the horse came into the stretch that we bet with a three-length lead, and it was Velasquez riding, and I said, "I'll take it from heel, Jorge," and of course he lost, and Axthelm chased me around the clubhouse. The good news is we were both slow.
Oh, so great. Poor Pete. Harvey, you know, I know it's a little tough for you to in terms of making the rounds. Going to see you at Saratoga this summer?
No, I don't leave anymore.
No,
It's because it's now in my home. I don't have to leave. If there's anything I miss, it's Saratoga. There was something about that 4 weeks originally and eventually six, and I guess someday 52, but it was really wonderful, and I do miss it, and I miss the people up there. I miss the restaurants up there. I miss the whole ambience of it, but I can't go anymore. I'm 91. It's a miracle that I can drive to Atlantic City and not get killed, That may end very soon. It might even be today. I don't know. But that's what I can do. That's about the only thing. Of course, we know every landmark along the way. It's a no-traffic trip, and it's all highway.
Well, as much as you may miss Saratoga, we know, you know, every time you visit with me, and when Andy does segments with you, and of course you also make your way to Lower Manhattan to do stuff with Dan Illman and with Mike Beer and DRX.
Yeah,
still,
I now do that. As of last year, I did do that on the phone now.
Okay,
because. It's not. I have a wheeler, not a walker. You know, one of those things that makes you walk faster because it rolls. And I can run to the casino and make it to the tables. But there's something about going down to the Forum and doing it live. Last year, they accommodated me by allowing me to do it on the phone, and I'll volunteer to do that again this year. The Racing Forum is a long tradition with me, and I owe them a lot, and I'll do anything for them.
And of course, I can reference, you know, my opportunity to watch you at Ciro's so many times, and how much it still means to me, and countless players who again, not just were entertained, but they were learning about the game and the formative stages of horseplay.
Well, I hope they're still enjoying it. And I hope they can enjoy it when they get my age at home, betting on TV.
Well, and that has been the most remarkable changes in the game, is how it's basically delivered to people wherever they go. And it hasn't helped the attendance, but it brings the game, you know, to people right into their hands.
Well, I like when Andy thanks the crowd. It's okay to thank the crowd on Belmont Day, but not on a weekday Thursday. Don't thank the crowd, because you're probably doing it mainly for the people at home.
Does you're still giving Andy some cues and the occasional critique?
Well, I just think he's the best. I watch him in awe. I brought him up. I saw him grow up. He has three mentors, I would say: me, Andy, Big Andy, Andy Beyer, and Steve Crist.
Yes.
And he's loyal to all three. And I'd say this: Big Andy now calls Little Andy every day and asks, "Who do you like?"
Right, the shoe on the other foot.
Right, it happens. That's evolution. Darwin missed it.
Well, we miss you, Harvey, and I am just delighted. We'll check in again during Saratoga. Safe travels to AC, and clean them out.
Thank you, Steve. Speak to you maybe next Triple Crown.
Outstanding. Harvey Pack, everybody. And just always a pleasure for me and an honor to be able to bring Harvey. Yeah, and as you can tell, I mean, 91, come on, sharp as can be. And if the wheels weren't kind of failing him a little in terms of mobility, believe me, he'd still be out here. And there's no reason to think that Naira and DRF still wouldn't take advantage and have him entertaining us and enlightening us. And you can still get a hold of the book, May the Horse Be With You. And Pete Fornatel has a couple of boxes still, and it's still online. But I think Pete's still got a few, and he can go and hook up with Harvey, and Harvey will sign the books for you. So if you're looking for that, we'll give you the address, and we'll talk to Pete. I think Pete's coming here Thursday. So we'll do I'll get you that information. If you have never read the book, as Harvey referenced, each chapter heading is one of those packisms. And they made you chortle, but at the same time, you were being imbued with some racing knowledge and an idea about how to approach a race or a horse. Harvey Pack, a legend for New York race fans, and not just limited to New York. Anybody that watched him on television and the work he did for years, and of course also recreating race calls. Going way back, Steve Haskin tells that story of the doing it Ray Walston style in the Sting
using the wire and recreating race calls. We've talked about that with Harvey as well. A real pleasure for me every time he joins us. Let's take a break about 10 minutes to the top of the hour. I got to get visits in with Dick Powell, John White, Jeremy Plonk before this Tuesday morning is through. Stay right here. Back after this.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit DRF.com/multi-track today.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Hi, John Parada here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. RaceLens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats RaceLens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional...
Bringing down the biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
Somewhere in South End when you were fun, you took my hand and you made me run up past the prison to the seafront.
Back at the races, Glass Animals. I can't get enough of this. It doesn't matter. Been out for, I don't know what, probably 8 months. That's my barometer on songs. If I don't mind, you know, keep hearing them over and over again for periods of time, and then it's okay. Melt With You being the all-time. The all-time greatest song in my personal preference. That a song that I've been hearing for 30 whatever years, and it as fresh with every play. Modern English, it's the greatest modern rock song ever recorded. Dick Powell joins us, and Dick, you got a tough act to follow.
Steve, there's been, I couldn't listen to the show on SteveBick.com, so I haven't been able to tune into anything this morning.
Well, then you may have needed to clear your For anybody that ever has that problem, you got to clear your cache. You close your browser, reopen it. In some cases, when that happens, by the way, folks, you may also, even the most simple update to your media player very frequently is inhibiting that. So
I know. I tried to reload Flash and various things, and I kept getting the same error message. So I then tried listening on my phone app, my Sirius phone app, but I couldn't find you in the sports tier.
964. 964, Sports Zone.
964. Well, I learn things every day. So what
there
did
you
I
go.
Miss?
You missed Harvey Pack.
Oh, no. You're kidding.
Yep.
Oh, man. Then I really did. I really did miss something because Harvey was the best.
He still is. That was live. It wasn't a tape of Harvey.
Yes.
What kind of?
I think the word irascible was invented for Harvey, or Harvey invented irascible.
That's not inaccurate. It's tough because his legs went, and he just can't get around as mobile so well. Otherwise, I think we'd still be treated to him on a regular basis, in person, because I mean, mentally, I've gotten six texts and already email and on Twitter, and everybody saying, "Oh my God, Harvey, sharp as ever." I mean, just hasn't missed a step that way.
Well, I definitely have to go back to the archive and listen to that.
You'll enjoy it. It'll be up.
That is priceless, and I very luckily was able to appear on his Sports Channel show from Saratoga one night, and that was just fantastic to do. And the show was so tight, and he ran that show, and you had a quick window to say something, then you had a quick window to shut up. I really enjoyed it. He was fantastic.
Well, and for me, because I wasn't in Metro New York, in real proximity during the time that I could have seen him here, particularly at Belmont, but at Saratoga and the Ciro seminars, that was when I got to enjoy him, and those were, like so many people, Dick, the formative years of my own interest and my own development as a player, and it was so entertaining, and the camaraderie / endless ribbing, whether it was the Harvey and Andy and Litvin and Corman and Preachy and the cast was always ever changing, but Harvey was the linchpin to everything.
Yes, I very luckily also got to do the Paddock Club on Sundays at Saratoga.
Nice.
And that was huge because Sunday is a giveaway day, or at least it used to be a giveaway day.
Sure.
So at 12 o'clock, you had an inordinate amount of people at the track. And it used to be back where the shoe board is and that Mutual Bay back there, which was opened up, and the Paddock Club used to be there. Then they built the carousel, and they started holding it inside the carousel. But I used to be the Sunday guest, and wow, that was about 25, 30 years ago, but that was great.
Well, it's always a treat when we're able to have Harvey on, and he's very open to it. And the one thing I have to follow up, he was, when I called him this morning, he said, "I'm mad at you. You were supposed to send me," because I told him after he had been on last time, and I got back to him, a week later, a couple days later. I said, "You can't believe the emails I received." He said, "Oh, forward them to me. I'd love to see them." And he said, "You never sent me those emails." And I said, "Well, I'll dig them up." He said, no, they don't matter to me anymore." the statute of limitations for praise, I guess, expired.
What's done is done.
I appreciate it, because he's leaving right now to go down to Atlantic City, and he makes fun of himself for becoming a casino gambler, which he told people not to do for decades. I love it. Well, speaking of casinos and gaming, let's do a quick recap. I had a visit with Jimmy Toner yesterday, Dick, and we talked about Hawkish, and they got very lucky at Penn National the way things turned out. The weather looked like it was going to strafe Grantsville, and it knock on wood, it ended up being what looked like a really nice afternoon and evening.
Well, and they wound up with Fast and Firm, which when I was on last Tuesday, I dare not bring up the weather, but even last Tuesday I was worried, oh, man, you got all these turf races, and I hope they stay on. And they did, and the turf racing was terrific. Now, did Jim indicate whether Hawkish will go on to the Belmont Derby or the Catholic boys' presence preclude them?
No, he's going. His goal.
They both
absolutely.
They both have the common, similar ownership. Yeah.
Well, they both. It's a $1.2 million purse. I think there's room for both of them.
Yeah. I agree with that, but in today's world, Steve.
It's the right target. So that's where they're headed. And we didn't get a chance to talk about every win. I mentioned Got Stormy, that won the Oaks, and that was a nice performance. I saw that Graham Motion, he said that the way I am, that she's still mad about losing that photograph. But, hey, Cassie, that's a nice win, and he's been very good with Cassie's work with the turf horses is really notable, and they went faster. The girls went faster than the boys did.
Yeah, they went 34.76. And God Stormy is interesting because she looks just like the father, Get Stormy, with the big white blaze down the middle of the face. And she's obviously a turf horse, as he was. And she gets up by a neck over the odds-on favorite or the odds-on favorite entry. I'm not sure which one would have been the favorite in that entry. But, Got Stormy with Tyler Gaffleon gave her a terrific ride, and she gets the money in the $200,000 stake. And Manny Franco, thank God, straightened out Hawkish, because Hawkish was starting to lug in to the point where he's going to cause some problems. And Manny was able to pull him off without taking away all his momentum. And then at that point, the race was over. I liked Maraud in that race, but I didn't expect him to be up pressing a modest pace. I thought he would make one run like he did at Churchill. So he faded a little bit, but a nice win by Manny. And then the other surprise, Steve, was Morticia. There was a stake race at Churchill going short on the turf. So me being a genius, I'm thinking, well, Rusty will stay home and run at Churchill. And instead he shipped Morticia to Penn National. And she, turf's running. She's just as good as it gets. So she was just, the one length doesn't really describe how authoritative that victory was.
Very much. And both of the sprints, the Governor's Cup has been around a long time, actually. I mean, almost 50 years. But this was the inaugural running of the Penn Ladies Dash. And it part of the whole match series we've been, during Triple Crown, we've really featured the match series, one of our Triple Crown season sponsors. And we talked with Alan Foreman, of course, in Baltimore ahead of the kickoff, and three straight weekends. And the match series has really enhanced the racing through the Mid-Atlantic here the first 3 weeks. And this looks like a race that, will take its place in this pick four, and, two sprints and then 2 3-year-old. It's really well placed on the calendar, Dick.
Yeah, it really is. It just fits in very, very nicely. And it's a relatively easy track to get to as far as the region. Shippers can get there without traveling too far. So it did well, and thank God that rain that hit Maryland didn't head over to Harrisburg.
Well, I'll mention again, I slipped it in yesterday, Anthony Margata and 2W with Bronx Beauty. When we talk about the Pennsylvania breds, we work with the Pennsylvania Thoroughbred Horsemen, and Bronx Beauty wins the Liaison Filly, bred by Blackstone, and then the other two, the Lafarge Imply, Bernie Houghton, for Barlar, the homebred, by E. Dubai, out of an Orientate mare, and then Butchie Reed, our friend Butchie, LC Racing, and Smooth B wins the Danzig, and wins well in there. The Wigilia colt, and got to be around Wigilia a little bit with Trombetta, and useful sire. So there's your Pennsylvania bred action. Turn our attention as well, Dick, to Presque Isle and the continuing and now kind of getting into a steady beat.
Yes, we've gone through 4 weeks of racing, and Pablo Morales had 6 winners last week, so he's, as of yesterday, 24 wins. Antonio Gallardo picked up 8 wins the last week, the last 4 days of racing, so he's at 15. Scott Speeth is now third with 9, and Scott's picking up some good business, so I would expect that to continue. Ron Allen, who got off to a slow start, has now picked up the pace, and he's starting to make his presence felt. And the guy I liked last year, Adi Alaiella, is also riding well. And the trainer race, Jerry Brooks, who was last year's leading trainer, he won 3 this week, 3 wins in 4 days of racing. So he's up to 8. Kimberly DePasquale had 2. So she's at 8, and Teresa Connolly at 2. She's at 7. And kind of under the radar, but if you're playing Presque Isle, you know this, Matt Kintz is 4 out of 7. So he's been just knocking them dead with limited opportunities. So he's been doing very, very well there. And I'm looking at the charts for last night. Did Jose ride last night, Jose Ortiz?
Oh, that's that's.
He was named, right. And that, as you and I have talked about, that doesn't always mean that they're going to be there. And I got to actually look the chart up, because I was watching the races, but I wasn't paying attention to who was riding it on it. I didn't get the changes to the card, but let me quickly look, because he's named tonight as well for either Adam Rice or Kevin Rice. And that makes sense with Taylor being married to Taylor Rice.
Yes, exactly. That's a family affair, say the least. The Rice clan.
Yeah, he did. Right. He finished second in the second race last night for Red Hot Looks, and that was for Joe Cheeks, who is somehow related to the Rices. I read there was some connection there. So, yeah, he did ride, and he's listed. Let me get tonight's PPs. He is listed to ride race number 3 tonight. For Kevin Rice on Miss Mission.
There you go.
So a little treat for the fans to get to see Jose Ortiz, who I believe has already $10 million in earnings in 2018. So he's just pouring it on again, and nice to see him show up at Presque Isle for a couple of months.
Well, and he also, of course, is going to swing into action here Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and the rest of the card for Saturday being drawn probably by about now, or certainly by noon, and the entire card will be put together with the Met and the Manhattan and the Just a Game and Woody Stevens, the whole Saturday slate, the Easy Goer as well, and the Phipps and so forth. And then 5:30 at Citi Field for the Belmont group. Some quick thoughts. You got a play tonight, Dick?
Sure. Hopefully when Bob Bassett throws out the first pitch, someone from the Mets will not be catching it. We've been a comedy of errors lately. City feels like a house of horrors for us Mets fans. And maybe Bob can bring us some good luck tonight. Race number one. I like number three, Devadue, Jeff Zook. Good speed. I like second off the layoff, especially when they showed interest and then kind of weakened. Jose Bracco rides back. I just think an improved performance and a little bit of a drop down in class should get the job done to get the night off to a fast start. Don't forget, the night starts at 5:25 p.m. Thursday, Belmont starts at 2 o'clock. And I'm the guy, Friday, I show up at Saratoga Harness at 1 o'clock, and I'm wondering where all my friends are. Well, they were smartly coming at 5 o'clock, 3 o'clock for post-run. And I was 2 hours early, naturally. So Thursday, 2 o'clock post-time at Belmont, 5:25 at Presque. And we'll go to race number five. Nick Caruso claimed this number six, Pollard Star, two back for eight, moved it up to 12. Didn't run bad, drops down to 6,250. And interestingly, the owners are Starlight Racing Stable, LLC. So this horse has a race over the track, gets the class drop down, drops actually back in distance because it goes from a two-turn mile to the long six-and-a-half furlong sprint. And 4-1 in the morning line with Willie Martinez. So both picks tonight, race one, number three, and race five, number six, they're both 4-1 in the morning line for tonight. And we get to see Jose Ortiz in race number three.
Well, Willie Martinez, my man. I love it. Dick, looking forward to some thoughts for Saturday. You got a feel right now ahead of them being lined up?
I would say if they didn't beat him in the Preakness, they're not going to beat him. That was the time that he might have been vulnerable. And he worked again yesterday. And it's not the workout. It's what he does when he hits the finish line and the gallop out. It's just the next three furlongs, it's just out of this world. So clearly he's fit. He's ready. Bob knows he has a mile and a half coming up. You know, so fresh legs only gets you so far. You got to have some fitness. And between the Preakness and the hard pace and the demands of that race and now two sensational workouts at Churchill, I just think he will become the next Triple Crown winner on Saturday. I don't see them beating him.
Very good. I appreciate it. And, of course, Dick's thoughts at the TwinSpire blog roll. Slip that in as well. And you can take part with his analysis nightly, 5:30, Presque Isle Downs. And, Dick, are we going to see you down here? You coming down?
No.
Nah. All right.
No, and then the crazy thing is I've been to the last four Triple Crown ones, and I will not be there Saturday.
Well, now, wait a minute. You might be the lucky charm. Although you probably were at a lot of Triple Crown misses.
I could be the bush also.
Exactly. So, all right. We're gonna see. Well, I think, you know what? Seth made his first trip to Belmont was for Pharaoh. So maybe all we need is Seth here.
Yeah, that'll work. Because The reality is what I tell my friends all the time is one has nothing to do with the other. We all think somehow our karma has something to do with it. But
well,
no, I can't make it. I got a trip on Monday, and I just can't do it. But I'll be watching.
I appreciate it. I am wearing my Triple Crown suit, the same suit I wore for for Pharaoh. I'm bringing it back. I haven't decided if I'm wearing the same tie. Am I that meshuga to try to keep the things in harmonic fashion? So
yes, you are. That's the answer to that question.
I love it. Dick, thanks so much. We'll talk
all
next
right,
week.
Steve.
We'll be recapping
thanks
everything.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks.
Okay.
Take a break. We're 15 in, and when we come back, John White's going to join us. We'll get John's take here, pre-draw, and slip in a little Santa Anita recapping, see what he thinks of the performance by Unique Bella and the way in which you heard from Dorf yesterday that she is going to be absolutely maintaining
her route going position, going toward distaff. So get some thoughts from John and, of course, his analysis, part of the ExpressBet Belmont Stakes wagering guide. Oh, and speaking of that, you made me think of something else, too. I heard from LP3, from Lafitte Benkai III, and we've got on Thursday night, we've got our stats race line session to go through not just the Belmont, but everything, the whole card, and it should be terrific. The only race that's struggling now, as it turns out, is the Phipps, where we already lost between Fault and Salty. So right now, it's looking like 6 or 7, and unless a couple of others kind of came forward, Abel Tasman, Ivy Bell, Pacific Wind, Unbridled Mo, Unchained Melody. Good to see her back. I've seen Lynchy over at the training track every morning. Burned may participate from Grand Motion, and Farrell considering as well. So we'll still get 7 or 8 for the Phipps. Back after this, John White, well into hour 3 at the races Tuesday, Belmont Week. Stay with us.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
With 35 years at the forefront of sports technology, Stats provides next-generation sports content for basketball, baseball, football, soccer. And now, Stats is turning its sights to horse racing. Racelens is the most in-depth product on the market. With innovative analytics powered by data from Equibase, it will change the way you follow horse racing. Stats Racelens, bringing clarity to handicapping. Learn more at stats.com/racelens.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky tracks for horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
Hi, John Pirana here, inviting you to join me in the Dublin Racing Club, along with friends like Steve Bick and Tom Durkin. If you have an interest in Ireland and horse racing, it's the best way to be involved with both. So log on now to DublinRacingClub.com and come join us at one of Ireland's 26 racetracks.
The Dublin Racing Club is designed to introduce racing fans to the ownership experience by participating in the sport in Ireland. For more information on the Dublin Racing Club, log on to DublinRacingClub.com.
Saturday, June 9th at Belmont Park, Kentucky Derby and Preakness winner Justify will be favored to become the 13th Triple Crown winner in history. Where should your money go? The 150th Belmont Stakes promises to be a historic event, producing possibly potent exotic payoffs. That's why now, more than ever, you need ExpressBet's free Belmont Wager Guide. It's available at ExpressBet.com beginning Friday, June 1st, and includes expert selections, analysis, and suggested $100 wagering strategies from some of the game's sharpest handicappers, writers, and broadcasters. Plus, you'll get important stats and trend you won't find anywhere else. Check back Belmont Week for daily updates, Johnny D's insightful horse-by-horse analysis, and a revised guide, including Edio's picks available Friday, June 8th. Visit ExpressBet.com to access the free Belmont Wager Guide, to open a new account, including up to a $500 bonus, and to check out special Belmont Stakes offers and promotions.
Account wagering is not permitted in all states. National Problem Gambling Support Line, 1-800-522-4700.